are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the great game of baseball. But here on this podcast, obviously, we're talking about your Milwaukee Brewers. And if you're new to the show, we upload podcasts every day of the week, 5 days a week. So make sure that you're also following Locked On Brewers on Twitter and that you're subscribed to the Locked On Brewers podcast so that you get notified every time we post a new episode. And again, we do the daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. On today's episode, we're going to be talking mostly about the Ryan Braun retirement, and we'll also get into a little bit of the Freddie Peralta as a rainy, kind of boring game on Tuesday. We'll talk about that as well. Before we get into all of that, let me remind you this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. Hoping to be able to get back on the Spotify Green Room app for this afternoon's game on Wednesday, so be ready for that. But let's get into the Ryan Braun news. So everybody's been asking all year if Ryan Braun is going to make a return to the Brewers, and that is officially not going to happen as Ryan Braun announces his retirement after 14 seasons in the big leagues. Not much of a surprise. I think Braun probably had some juice left in the tank. In fact, I know he did. But without that DH, I think it made it kind of hard for him, kind of limited his options. I really don't think he wanted to play anywhere except Milwaukee, and the Brewers unfortunately just don't have a spot for him. Like I said, without that DH, I think if the DH were in place, he probably would have given it one more ride this season. But nevertheless, he announces his retirement. His career is coming to an end, and a great career that it was. Again, 14 big league seasons, all coming with the Milwaukee Brewers. He slashed .296, .358, .532 with an .891 OPS. Very, very good numbers there. He also racked up 352 home runs, 1,154 runs batted in, and he also had 216 stolen bases, so not too shabby there either. He was the Rookie of the Year in 2007, and he won the NL MVP in 2011 when he hit .332 with 33 home runs, 111 RBI, and a .994 OPS. So great season there, obviously, for the Brewers 2011, winning that MVP. He also won 5 Silver Slugger Awards, and he got MVP votes in 7 different seasons, including his first 6 seasons in the big leagues. He also made the All-Star team 6 times. So, you know, without a doubt, one of the best players to play this game, one of the best Brewers to play this game. And speaking of which, he ranks top 5 in Brewers history in just about every offensive category. And in a lot of those offensive categories, he's top 3, right up there with Robin Yount and Paul Molitor. So I think you could easily make the argument that he's perhaps the second or third best player in Brewers franchise history. But let me know on Twitter where you would rank him. But I'd probably rank him second, at least offensively. He is the Brewers' all-time home run leader by quite a wide margin. He has 100 and 1 home runs more than Robin Yount, who is second in Brewers history in home runs. So, I mean, again, one of the best offensive players in Milwaukee Brewers history, without a doubt. But let me know, again, on Twitter where you would rank him as far as the best Milwaukee Brewers players of all time. And then just looking at some of his greatest moments, you had a 3-run homer for him against the Marlins in 2011 that helped the Brewers clinch their first division title since 1982. He had a grand slam against the Cardinals in 2019 that helped push them into the playoffs. And speaking of Grand Slams, he hit a walk-off Grand Slam in 2008. We just saw Daniel Vogelbach do that. Braun was the last one to do it for the Brewers before him back in 2008, just his second year in the big leagues. Also, just his second year in the big leagues, he hit a big home run against the Cubs to help send the Brewers to the postseason. Maybe one of his best moments as in his career as a Milwaukee Brewer. Again, also let me know your favorite Ryan Braun moment on Twitter. Hit us up at Locked On Brewers. Let me know your favorite moment from Ryan Braun's career. And then finally, looking at his postseason numbers, played in 27 postseason games with the Brewers and hit very well. Slash 330, 368, 491 with an 859 OPS and a pair of home runs in those 27 postseason games. Again, without a doubt, one of the best players in Brewers history. Not only that, just one of the best players, you know, in Major League Baseball history, in my opinion, what he could do. Always have enjoyed Ryan Braun, enjoyed that classic swing that he has. So wish him all the best in retirement. Thankful for the great years that he gave us in Milwaukee. Some of those great moments, big clutch home runs, some clutch hits to send the Brewers to the postseason. So thankful to Ryan Braun. Again, wish him and all his family the best in his retirement. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back and break down Tuesday's game. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. As I said at the top, Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Brewers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. And follow me at shortstopball to be notified when my room goes live. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season, although we're still focused on baseball here. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100 from football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, again, kind of a sleepy game on Tuesday. Not much going on here. The biggest takeaway from this one was Freddy Peralta. A couple of rough outings after coming off the IL, so great to see him back to dominating like he has been. Six innings, two hits, no walks, no earned, nine strikeouts, and 71 pitches before the rain delay. Probably good that rain delay came. Maybe Council would have brought him back out for the seventh, but probably best, you know, to get him out of there. I think, you know, you continue, as me and Benny have been talking about, you continue to just kind of ramp him up like this is spring training, get him ready for the postseason to go deep. I thought 75 pitches would probably be a good cutoff point for this game, and he's able to go six innings with those 71 pitches, so certainly very efficient in this outing. Threw 35 fastballs, got six swings and misses for a whiff rate of 46%, also got nine called strikes on that fastball, which was averaging 94 miles per hour and got up to 96 miles per hour. He threw 16 sliders, got three swings and misses on those and two called strikes. The curveball was really effective for him on Tuesday. He threw 14 of those, got four swings and misses on seven swings from the curveball and three called strikes. So again, very efficient with that curveball. Maybe even better than the slider on Tuesday, and the slider is, you know, by far his his best pitch right now. So just very efficient outing for him. Really great to see. Should have a couple of more tune-up starts before the postseason. He was opposed by another Peralta and another former Brewer in Willie Peralta, who was also dealing on Tuesday. He allowed just two hits and two walks over five innings with five strikeouts. He has a 3.32 ERA on the year for Detroit. So good stuff there from Willie Peralta as well, former Brewer. Not much going on offensively in this one. Omar Narvaez had a couple of hits. Avi and Kane had the other hits. But unfortunately, Avisel Garcia left the game with back spasms, something he's been dealing with for a while. Didn't get much of an update after the game. I haven't seen one on Wednesday morning, but I wouldn't be surprised. Avi misses a couple of more games here, maybe even goes on an IL stint just to make sure that he's rested. I know Tyrone Taylor is close to coming back, but this worries me a lot. The same reason it worried me for Christian Yelich back in the beginning of the year, and really worries me now with Christian Yelich. Those back issues just never seem to go away. They're going to continue to pop up, and you kind of have to learn to play through them a little bit. And Avi seems to be struggling with that right now. So hopefully, you know, he'll get a few days off. You got the off day afternoon game on Wednesday today, which I would doubt he's going to play. And then you got the off day on Thursday. So plenty of time to get him rested, try to make sure that he can get that back healed up as much as possible to get ready for the postseason. Some other positives from the game. Devin Williams was filthy, striking out the side. He threw 10 changeups. The Tigers swung and missed at 7 of them. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And then Josh Hader had an interesting ninth inning. He walked 3 batters, but also struck out 3 batters. And then the Brewers just unable to come through in the 10th and 11th innings, which worries me, starting out with a runner on second base and you still can't get a run in. But I mean, they end up losing 1-0. The Tigers, you know, walk it off there. They're able to score the run in the 11th. It's not a big deal them losing, but the game was just so winnable, especially when all you had to do in the 10th inning was score a run and you could have won the game and you had a runner at second base. I don't like that for the when you get to the postseason when you need a run like that and you can't push it across. I know it's kind of different with that rule when you're the away team. You want to play for multiple runs, so I understand that strategy of it, but to not be able to score at least a single run in that 10th or 11th inning is a bit concerning, but nothing to be too worried about. Again, kind of a just ho-hum, I don't know, kind of lackadaisical type of game, both pitchers dealing. Then you got the rain delay, you go into extra innings. So I'm just gonna chalk this one up as to just a really a lack of focus offensively, and just kind of a boring game, honestly, other than what the Peraltas did on the mound. But they do take the loss 1-0 against the Tigers, and they'll try to bounce back on Wednesday afternoon and split this 2-game series. Take another break, and we'll come back, and we'll preview Wednesday's afternoon's game. The show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic-tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that, from chocolate to chocolate chip, cookies and cream, which are some of my favorites. They also have a lot of coconut flavors, almond toffee, and mint, peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry, just a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good. It's not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. And they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So with the Brewers losing on Tuesday to the Tigers, the Reds lost, but the Cardinals win. The Cardinals have now jumped the Reds in the division, so it's now the Cardinals that we're looking at to lose in order to gain or drop a magic number. So the Brewers' magic number remains at 5 games, still, you know, within reach that they could clinch this weekend. But still, hopefully, they'll get a win on Thursday, lower that number, and maybe the Cardinals and Reds will both lose some games here. We can get that wrapped up here pretty quickly, but it's just inevitable at this point, which is a great feeling to have midway through September. Looking to that Wednesday afternoon matchup, again, it's an afternoon game on Wednesday. You have Brandon Woodruff versus Matt Manning. You know how great I am at making bold predictions, but this is a game I feel nearly 100% confident in that the Brewers will get the win with Woodruff on the mound. The offense struggling on Tuesday. I don't think they'll struggle quite that much on Wednesday afternoon, even though it is an afternoon game. You got the off day on Thursday. I think the bats will come out and swing them well on Thursday. I think Brandon Woodruff will dominate over 6 or 7 innings. So put this one in the bank. I think the Brewers get the easy win, split this series, and at least have their magic number down to 4 on Wednesday night. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Again, you can follow me at Shortstop Ball. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.